Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 17 through 22. Mark chapter number 10. And this is the 49th lesson. We're in the book of Mark, and I'm really enjoying it and getting a lot out of it. Mark chapter 10, we're going to begin reading verse 17. The Bible said, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." And this is commonly referred to as the rich young ruler. And it's called the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 20. He's referred to as the young man. And so it doesn't refer to him here as being young, but it does in the book of Matthew. It calls him the young man or the rich young ruler. But tonight I'd like to give it a different title. I'd like to call it A Pretty Good Fella. That just kept going through my mind as I was studying about this and reading about it and thinking about it. It just came to my mind that this fella, he was a pretty good fella. That's what we might say about somebody. We might say, "Well, you know so-and-so. Well, they're a pretty good fella." Well, this fella, he's a pretty good fella. He's a real good fella. In fact, as I was thinking about it and studying about it, he's a young man that we all know. We don't know him as far as personally. We don't even know what his name was. But I guarantee we all know somebody that's a whole lot like him. We all know somebody. Maybe you know a college student. Maybe you know somebody that you work with or go to school with or work around. We all know somebody who goes to church. And, you know, we know a little bit about them. They go to church somewhere. Maybe they're very involved. I think this man would come under the category of being very involved. He knew a lot about, evidently he was very dedicated to his religion. And we all know somebody that's like that, that we would look at him and we'd say, you know, they're a pretty good fella. And this fella, all in all, everything we read about him, he's very likable. He's even a lovable person. In verse number 21, the Bible said, "Then Jesus, beholding him." Now, there's just something about him when the Lord looked at him. As the Lord dealt with him there, the Lord Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, this is a lovable fella that we're talking about in this passage of Scripture. So he's a pretty good fella. He's somebody that we can all relate to, or we know somebody. Somebody like this would be in your average church every Sunday morning. Just a pretty good fella. But I want us to point out and look at some things about this pretty good fella here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, we'll point out in verse number 17, and we'll say this about him, that he was a sincere seeker. A sincere seeker. The Bible said, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Now, the way this man comes to the Lord Jesus is very, very different than the way the Pharisees came to the Lord. If you remember back in chapter 10, verse 2, the Bible said, "And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?' Tempting him." And so the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus, and they came to tempt him. They came to trip him up. They came to make him look bad in his teaching, his doctrine, his belief. They wanted to trip him up in his words. But this young man, he has no ulterior motive. He's very sincere. He's very honest in the way that he comes to the Lord Jesus. And there's just something about the way that he comes to the Lord that says something about him. That says something, first of all, about his earnestness or his eagerness. The Bible says here, there came one running. And so this man came running to the Lord Jesus. And we don't know why he came running, but I can imagine in my mind that he had probably just heard that the Lord Jesus was passing through, that the Lord Jesus was in reach. He was somewhere near to this young man, and this young man was so eager to meet the Lord Jesus, he did not want to miss him. He didn't want him to get gone. He came running to the Lord Jesus. That lets me know that he was serious about coming to see the Lord. You know, if you get in a hurry to do something, you're serious about it. And so this man comes running to the Lord Jesus. The Bible said he came running. We learned something about that. He came humbly. The Bible said there in verse number 17, not only came one running, but the Bible said, and kneeled to him. Now this young man is rich. And a lot of times people that are rich and have a whole lot of possessions in this world, they get an air of superiority about them. But this man didn't come to the Lord Jesus as a superior. This man did not come to the Lord Jesus even as an equal. He didn't come and say, you know, well, I'm rich and you're not. He didn't come and say, well, I'm at least on equal footing with the Lord Jesus. But he didn't come as a critic like the Pharisees did. He didn't come in as an advisor to tell him what to do or how to do. You know, a lot of times people that have money, they automatically think that gives them the right to tell you how to run your business. But he didn't come to the Lord Jesus to tell him how to do something differently or that he wasn't doing something right. He did not come out of curiosity. He had something that he wanted to know from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came in humility. And when you kneel down before somebody, you are recognizing that they have a power, that they have an authority, that they're greater, that they are worthy of honor and respect. And so this man came running, he came and he kneeled down before the Lord Jesus. There is his acknowledgement. Also in verse number 17, the Bible says, and kneel to him and ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And it's interesting that he refers to the Lord Jesus as good master, capital G, capital M. He gave this title unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 18. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he answers him with Scripture. And that is referring to Psalms chapter number 14 in verse number 18. But I cannot read this without thinking about my Mama Cornette. And she would always, she's one of these that if she said, how are you doing? You said, good, she would say, there's none good but God. And she caught me on that two or three or four times. And after a while, when I'd see her and she'd say, how are you doing? I'd say, fine. I quit saying that to her because I knew what she was going to say. She was going to say, there's none good but God. Nobody's good but God. And that's right. You know, that's right out of the Bible. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord Jesus, and I can never read that I don't think about her and what she used to say. But when the Lord Jesus says in verse number 18, there is none good but one, that sounds like Romans chapter number 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, there's none righteous. But that is actually out of Psalms chapter number 14. And in Psalms chapter number 14, in verse number 1, the Bible says there in the last part of the verse, there is none that doeth good. And verse number 3 of Psalms chapter 14 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so this man knew the Bible. He knew enough about the Bible to recognize that from the Old Testament scriptures. But the fact that this man came and referred to the Lord Jesus as good master, that lets us know that this young man evidently believed that Jesus was more than just another religious teacher or a rabbi. You know, they had rabbis. That master means teacher. This man recognized something in the Lord Jesus Christ that was above and beyond anybody else. So he referred to him as good master. And I believe that lets us know that this man probably knew more about the Lord Jesus. In fact, I think you could make the argument that he recognized him as the Messiah, because he called him good master, knowing that there's none good but God. So he's acknowledging him, that he's God, that he's good, that he's a master, that he's a teacher. So that acknowledgement, that title that he gave to the Lord Jesus also says something about this man in Mark chapter number 10. And then there is his request. There's what he asked in verse number 17. Now he came, he kneeled, he was running, he referred to the Lord Jesus as good master, but he wanted to know something. And so when he come and kneeled before the Lord Jesus, he asked him, he said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now the overwhelming majority of people in the world think exactly like this man did. And look what he's asking there in verse number 17. "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Most of the people in the world believe that you must do something in order to go to heaven. That it's a do religion. You got to do a certain whatever. You got to do a certain amount of good works. That God somehow in the Bible has a to-do list. And if your good outweighs your bad, people think, well, that's what you got to do in order to go to heaven. Or you got to join the church. Or you got to be baptized. Or you got to tithe. Or you got to keep the commandments or something like that. That he just thinks like everybody else does. What do you have to do to go to heaven? You know, people that are involved in all these different religions, and there's a bunch of them out there. They are all living by that same philosophy. You got to do something in order to go to heaven. You got to be a good Jehovah's Witness. You got to be a good Mormon. You got to be a good Methodist. You got to be a good, and you got to obey the church, and you got to do, you know, people, they'll say you got to do what the Bible says, and a lot of them don't even know what the Bible says. But all of them, nobody can tell you, well, what's enough? This man wanted to know. Now, I just want to know the bottom line. What would be enough that I could inherit eternal life? Just tell me exactly what I need to do in order to inherit eternal life. But you know, and I know tonight, it's not what we do. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done. We know the Bible teaches not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We don't go to heaven by what we do. It's what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. But this man wanted to know, what must I do? Then we notice also his moral goodness that he had in verse number 19. Now, I noticed that the man had no answer to what Jesus asked him in verse number 18. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" This man didn't even answer that. The Lord Jesus is not going to give him a list of things to do in order to get to heaven, but he's going to deal with him in such a manner to get to the heart of the matter. And so this man has lived his life by the law, so the Lord Jesus Christ is going to use the law in order to win him unto himself. And we find out how morally good this young man is in verses 19 and 20. He said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now notice, this man is dependent upon what he's done. He said, Master, all these have I. This is what I've done. And he's probably feeling pretty good about what he's done at this point. If that was the answer to his question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Probably at that point, he's feeling pretty good about the matter. Well, here's what the Lord said. Don't kill anybody. Hey, I've not killed anybody. Don't commit adultery. Well, I've not committed adultery. Don't steal. Hey, I've never stole anything. Honor your father and your mother. I've always obeyed. I'm doing pretty good. He could honestly answer the Lord Jesus and say, all these have I done from my youth. But now I want to point out in verse number 19, these were not just random commandments that the Lord Jesus, like if I came to you and I said, can you name the Ten Commandments? And maybe you're not able to, but you could probably get 5 or 10 of them. Don't steal, don't kill, we might rattle off 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, but that's not what the Lord Jesus did. You probably notice these are not in order. And the Lord Jesus gave him the last 6 commandments, but he never mentioned the first 4 commandments. And the 10 commandments can be broken down into 2 parts. There's the first part, and the first 4 commandments, they have to do with man's relationship to God. First 4 commandments. The first 4 commandments are, and I'm not going to quote them exactly, but number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's our relationship with us and God. Number 2, God said not to have any graven images, not to bow down to idols. Number 3, the Bible says not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And number 4, the 4th commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And those first 4 commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 all have to do with man's relationship to another man, or our relationship with our neighbor, or our relationship with one another. And it is the 5th through the 10th commandment is what the Lord Jesus mentions to this man. Now, the book of Matthew also mentions in chapter 19, verse number 19, after it says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, do you remember when somebody came and asked the Lord Jesus, what's the greatest commandments? And he said, honor the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. And the second is like unto it, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you got to have a right relationship with God, but you also have to have a right relationship with your neighbor. And that 5 through 10 is summed up by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Or do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit. You know, don't do to somebody else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. That summarizes those last 6 commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat other people like you would be like to be treated. Don't do to somebody else what you wouldn't want done to you. Steal, kill, commit adultery, defraud, covet. All of those things. Now, the Lord Jesus mentioned the latter part of the Ten Commandments. this rich young ruler, this young man here, he would have known immediately that there were four other commandments. Maybe you noticed in Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 20, the young ruler said, "All these have I kept from my youth." But then he said, "What lack I yet?" He knew there was still something lacking. That's why he came and asked to begin with. He knew before he came he was a pretty good fellow. He answered the Lord, "All these things I've observed from my youth." But he still knew that he was lacking something. And that's the trouble with trying to keep the law and trying to be a good enough person to go to heaven. You always lay down on your bed at night and wonder, have I done enough? And the answer is, no, you've not done enough. You're still lacking something. You're still missing something. You can be the best person that ever was, and you're still lacking something. Matthew 19, 20, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" He knew there was still something missing in his life. But he knew there's four other commandments, and the Lord Jesus Christ never mentioned the other four commandments. But I notice in verse number 21, and I've already mentioned this, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." And that's worth underlining in our Bibles. The Lord Jesus loved him. The Bible doesn't say the Lord Jesus loved his religion. The Bible doesn't say that the Lord loved his dedication. I mean, we're talking about a fellow here. He's a pretty good fellow. He's trying to do good. He's trying to do right. He's trying to live by the law. That's his religion. But the Lord didn't love his religion. The Lord doesn't look at people and say, "Boy, I just love how they worship and how they burn candles and how they observe days and weeks and months and years." And you know, under the Old Testament law, the Jews, they did all of those outward things. You come along to the book of Malachi, and the Lord said, "I hate your feasts. I hate your observances. I hate those things. Your incense, it's an abomination to my nostrils." The Lord doesn't look at the way we observe. That's not what he loved about him. He didn't love his morality. He didn't love his eagerness. But what does the Bible say? The Bible said that Jesus looked and beheld and loved him. Now that's amazing. The most amazing thing in the world is that Jesus loves sinners. And he looked at this man, and he's a sinner. Now, he's a pretty good fellow, but he's a sinner. But the Lord Jesus loved him. And it's amazing tonight, you can put your name in there, that the Lord loves us. The Lord loves me. The Lord loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. The Lord loves you. And the Lord wants to save people. And so we see all these things about this young man. Second of all, tonight we see a startling statement. First, he was a sincere seeker. Second of all, there's a startling statement in verse number 21. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest." One thing thou lackest. And the one thing that he lacked was a true relationship with God. Them first four commandments, the Lord doesn't even go there. He doesn't even mention the first four, but that had to do with a man's relationship with God. But the Lord Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest," and what this one thing was, he lacked a true relationship with the Lord. Multitudes of people out here today are religious, they're moral. They go to church, they are observant of their, I'm talking about broad terms here. All kinds of different denominations out there. There's people that go to church every Sunday. They may not know what the Bible says, but they know what their church teaches about something. They try to observe that. They try to do that. They try to live within the what they think is right. They are concerned about things like eternal life and heaven, just like this young man here. But there's a lot of people who goes to church every Sunday, and they're just as lost as this young man was. Wouldn't that be sad to live your whole life and be religious and go to church and try to be a good person and die and go to hell and find out there's one thing that you lacked? That's how this young man was. He lacked one thing. He had everything else going for him. He was headed in the right direction. If you met him on the street and talked to him, you'd say, he's a pretty good fella. He goes to, they didn't go to church. He'd went to synagogue, but you know, he's a pretty good fella. But he didn't know the Lord. He's just as lost as the biggest sinner in town. Well, I tell you, when somebody like that finds out that there's one thing that they lack, it's a shock to them. It's hard for people to comprehend. You know, I've went to church all my life and I'm a pretty good person, and you're telling me that I'm lost? You're telling me that's not good enough? Have you ever had anybody give you that argument? I've had people tell me, I'm a good person. I've not killed anybody. But that doesn't matter. If they don't have a proper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll go to the same hell as the meanest, wickedest sinner in the world. And it's a shock to them. And no doubt it was a shock to this man. A startling statement. One thing thou lackest. Well, the Lord Jesus, he's an expert at dealing with people. And so the next thing we find is a searching command in verse number 21. He said, one thing thou lackest, here's what you do. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now, boy, you talk about a shock. When this young man come and asked the Lord Jesus, What do I need to do to obtain eternal life? He wasn't expecting that for the answer. And that's not the way to heaven, by the way, but that's the way to get right into this man's heart. The one thing that was between him and the Lord Jesus Christ was the things that he had, his possessions. And so the Lord Jesus said, go thy way, sell what you have, give it to the poor. The Lord Jesus never deals with the first four commandments because he doesn't have to. This young man, by his own standard, by his own confession, when the Lord Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. Verse 19, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Matthew 19, he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. This young man said, all these have I observed from my youth. Matthew 19, 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up. This man, by his own standard, by his own confession, he had kept all of these things, including the love thy neighbor as thyself. But when he's really tested on it, he failed the test. If he really loved his neighbor as himself, he'd have went out and done what the Lord told him to do. He'd have said, that'd be for the good of my neighbor. And I'll sell everything I've got, and I'll take that money and I'll give it to the poor. But when he come right down to it, he couldn't do it. When he come right down to it, he doesn't even get past part A of the test. Part A of the test was sell and give it all. Now what if the Lord required that of you? I mean, he didn't ask some small thing. That is a major thing. But that points out where this young man's heart is. Part A of the test was sell and give it all. He never even got to part B. That was come and follow me. Come take up your cross and follow me. He didn't even get that far. He couldn't get past the sell everything you got and give it away. But he had told the Lord, I've loved my neighbor as myself from my youth up. I've observed all these things. But now that religion that he had, it really gets put to the test. And there's some good lessons in this passage of Scripture that we could learn. We can learn from this. There is how we see ourselves. See, this young man saw himself as a pretty good fellow. And most of us would probably think about ourselves, well, I'm a pretty good fellow. I mean, it's easy to look around and see people that do worse. And when we see this young man, as I study about him, I think he was a pretty good fellow. And so with all of us, there is, first of all, there's how we see ourselves. But it doesn't really matter how we see ourselves or how we see each other. What really only matters is how God sees us. And that's what this is getting to. There's how the Lord sees him. And really, as you begin to study this out and think about it, if he came and asked the Lord, what shall I do? And he was sincere in his asking and he really wanted to know and the Lord told him what to do. Well, he wouldn't do it. He's actually sort of selfish. I mean, why wouldn't he do that if that's what the Lord told him, this is what you need to do? He's sort of selfish and he's sort of self-righteous. I mean, who would stand before the Lord Jesus and say, I've done all these things. I've kept all these things. I've observed all. You know, when you study his life in light of the Bible, he's a pretty good fellow, but he's not perfect. He's sort of selfish and he's sort of self-righteous and he's really not as sincere or serious as he acted like he was. And there's a lot of people like that. They'll talk a great big religious talk, but when it comes right down to their, what we call your pocketbook, they're not really as serious as they talk like they are. And that's how this young man was. He wasn't really as serious as he acted like he was, because when it come down to his possessions and the things that he owned, we come down to verse number 22, the last thing, there's a sorrowful departure. The Bible said, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Here, this is a very sad passage of Scripture, really. The Bible says that he went away sad. But when I study and read about this, I see it as being very sad, because here is a man, I believe he was convicted, but he was not converted. Now that's sad. There's a lot of people out here, they're not even convicted. It doesn't bother them how they live, what they say, what they do, who they offend by their language or action or... But now here's a person, he's at least conscientious about how he's living his life. And he's at least convicted enough and concerned enough about his soul that he runs and makes his way to the Lord Jesus and asks him, what shall I do? But when it come right down to it, he went away, is what the Bible says. He went away sad because he had great possessions. He got so close to the light that the light shined into his heart and showed him everything he wanted to know about himself. But when it come right down to it, he couldn't step into the light. He turned away from the light, and that is sad. I mean... let's be honest, I don't know. A lot of people probably don't get that close to eternal life. But he got right up to the edge and he turned around and he went away, is what the Bible says. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
And in the end, it was just too much for him. Now, there's some lessons here about dealing with religious people. I guess that'd be a good way to put it. But you know, there's a reason why some people are not interested at all in coming to church, hearing the preaching of the Word of God, listening to what you have to say when you try to witness to them or talk to them or invite them to church. I believe right here we find a reason why there's so many people that used to go to church. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. Well, I used to go, but I don't go anymore. I'm not interested. I don't want to go. Look what the Bible says. He was sad at that saying and went away. You know, if you're not going to get in the light, you're probably going to have to get out of the light. And that's what he did. You notice he didn't hang around. He didn't hang around and say, well, you know, I'll think about that. It ought to bother us in our day and time. And I read an article last week. I think I've still got it at the house, but it was talking, and I've read and read and read all kinds of articles about young people. They grow up, they go away. They don't want anything to do with their parents' church. They don't want anything to do with their parents' religion. And they grow up and they get a certain age and they go away. They go away. It's sad. It ought to bother us as we see people that know. Now, this man, he knew. He knew what he ought to do. But he went away. And it ought to bother us to see the going away, the pulling away as a pastor. And I've watched it and seen it, and I don't know what to do about it. But when people begin to pull away from church, from their family, from preaching, from Christians, they're making a choice. Just like this man made a choice. You can't stay in the light. If you're not going to get in the light, you can't stay in the light. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And it ought to bother us that so many go away. Go away. He was sad at that saying, and I've got this highlighted in my Bible. Went away. Went away. The Lord didn't run him off. Oh boy, people want to blame the Lord, don't they? Oh, they judge me down there. You know, we've heard all kinds of that. But fact is, the Lord didn't run him off. He went away. The Lord loved him. The Lord told him the truth of what was keeping him from the Lord Jesus Christ. And people in this day and time, especially those that are like this young man that knows some truth, they've been exposed to it. People are choosing one way or the other. And they know they cannot have it both ways. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and hold to the other. No man can serve two masters. This man knew that. He couldn't continue to follow the Lord unless he'd done something about the thing that was coming in between him and the Lord. But he was like so many other people. He was a pretty good fella. But he was so wrong. And to me, that's sad. That's sad. There's a lot of pretty good people that's going to miss heaven because of this world, the things in this world, the things that they have. We know what the Bible says about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But he went, I'll close by saying this, he went away sad. But that makes me sad because I know some people like this. They're not bad people. They're just wrong, and they're just going in the wrong direction, just like he did. Well, I was reading one commentary, I think it was H.A. Ironside, and he said, wonder what happened to him. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he got saved later on. Maybe he got saved. We won't know. We won't know till we get to heaven. But I wonder what happened to him. I guess we'll find out one day. All right, I appreciate your good attention tonight.